You know, we were talking about pace, but we're also dealing with pace in today. And we had planned to get so far in this. And so what I'm trying to do is, and I think it's something you should try to do, is the leader has to establish the pace. In some cases, it's establishing the pace based on the followers. Moses, who was it? Was it Moses? No, it was Jacob. When Jacob reunited with Esau, you remember that story, reunited with Esau? And I think it was Jacob that told Esau to go ahead and I'll come a little later because I don't want to drive the people too fast because we got women and children and all that. That was pace. And the pace were based off the followers. So sometimes as leaders, we have to correlate the pace to the people. I have to try to do that in my sermons, you know. My sermons, this year, I have a strategy of building an infrastructure in a spiritual infrastructure. And it means I got to start back over, slow things down, touch all my bases, talk about basic stuff. The people who could go faster probably feel a little like, I already know this. You know, I already know this. But then if you got a bunch of folk getting saved on Sundays, until we have a growth track in place, I've got to slow down and make sure these folk that are getting on board can't keep up. And so pace sometimes has to do with the followers and making sure people got it. Because you can go through a whole thing and people don't get it. And you may have finished something, but they didn't get it. So that's what we're actually doing this. I read a statement, a little story in the book, and it says, Frank Gilbert, a pioneer of scientific management methods in the early 1900s, found that he could trim the time it took him to shave by 1 minute. He came up with a way to cut his shaving time by 1 minute if he used two razors at once. He gave up the idea when he noticed that it took him two additional minutes to bandage the wounds. So I thought that was interesting because, see, you can move fast, but you could be tearing up stuff. So if it's gonna cost you time to redo and all this kind of stuff, then it's not really a good thing. So someone came up to me and said, I think it was you, right, said that pace, if we're not taking into consideration these other things, can be dangerous, but you can see how pace is important. We want to get things done quicker, but well. Now, Kevin, you said that somebody told you whatever you had to say was important enough for us to say, so sometime I should look your way. Okay, at some point, does it fit here? Okay, well, say what you got to say. We'll slow everything down. We'll slow everything down and hear what you got to say.
Well, that's somewhat humorous, but actually, I was discussing this with a certain other party. When we were dealing with elimination, we were discussing in the hallway that a lot of times when you're moving processes around and combining, and then you get ready to go back through that process again, if the roles are not redefined, then people will begin to do what they did, which
I think that's good. Kevin, that was good. Y'all give Kevin a good hand, because I tell you, it's a lot of skepticism, Kevin, before you start talking. I'm just going to tell you, I can look at the expression on their face, Kevin. There was some skepticism.
That's a healthy anticipation.
Okay. That's a good way to approach it. Okay, let's talk process. Four components to execution. Pace, I think we pretty much understand that. Process is a series of steps or actions or operations proceeding to an end. Let's look at some of the qualities of an effective process. Simple, not complex or elaborate. And I think the key to simplification in the organization is that each department, each leader, each employee has to take an honest look at how we do things. And is there a better way to do it? You know what I mean? Is this process complicated? Is it simple? Is it too deep? I think all of us, to simplify the organization, we got to all look at the processes and the way that we do things. A new members class is a classic illustration of what do we want to offer at new members class. And as I've thought about it, I think vision is important in new members class. Core values is important in new members class. These are the kind of things that you really want to offer in your new members class, and not necessarily discipleship. It's not really a discipleship program. You should have discipleship somewhere else, but the new members class shouldn't be as deep. It shouldn't be that deep. But people should know, they should know things about authority, organization, the kind of ministry you are, the emphasis in the church, how you finance. Tithing should be a part of it, because people finance things differently. So taking a look at how we do things is really important. And so we end up changing things. But if we're going to change stuff, we got to make sure as leaders that we take people along with the process. Now, a mistake that all of us have made, or some of us have made, is that we change something and we don't bring folk along with it. We just change it, but we don't talk to the people. Like Kevin talked about roles and responsibilities, if those people are not dealt with, they're going to still do it the same way. Well, if you got a group of people already doing something one way, but you see that we need to make changes, we need to bring those people in and have a discussion with those people about the changes that we're getting ready to make and why we're getting ready to make it, and then give them an opportunity to ask questions so that they can be on board with it. Because nothing worse than making a change and the leader sitting there and hadn't bought into it. And the people can tell the leader hadn't bought into it because all their body language said, I don't know why we changed. What was wrong with the old thing? You know what I mean? So sometimes we have to work through the people that we already got handling certain things if we're gonna make some changes. But a simple process is what we want. We don't want it to be deep. We don't want it to be elaborate. A simple process. What is the shortest point between A and Z? How can we get there as quick as we can without just being encumbered with all kinds of stuff? And so that's what we're working on. Flexible. Now, we'll talk more about it, but I just put it here. Capable of adapting to new and different extenuating circumstances or factors. And I'm adding flexibility only to simplification. If we want to simplify it, we got to be flexible enough to look at the way we've been doing it. And we can't be stuck in the way we've done it in the past. A feedback system, a system that allows others to evaluate performance or effectiveness. That is something that I have seen through experience to be a great lack in our church, a general feedback system that is uniform, but then having departmental feedback systems. Because I think every leader needs to know how the followers think about their leadership. And I think the followers should have an opportunity to say what they think about the leadership and about the effectiveness of what we're doing. Because a lot of times we do stuff, but we don't evaluate whether it's effective or not. And then openness or receptive to innovation and new and better ways of doing things. Now, I want to ask a question, but before I ask a question, are there any questions about any one of these? No questions? Okay. Yes, sir.
I thought about the feedback system. Sometimes the feedback system can be a gripe session where people just want to complain to complain.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't, if the leaders who are actually taking it don't have to internalize that into them, because a lot of times people are going to complain just to complain. Have to balance it.
Let me share with you how I tend to look at a feedback system. Let's say I got five people reporting to me. Let's say we got a 360, and let's say I'm getting feedback from their peers, I'm getting feedback from their subordinates, and then I got my own interpretation of how they're doing as a leader. I look for patterns. See, I look for patterns. If three or four people are saying the person just won't delegate, they won't let us do anything, then I know it's a problem. If I'm getting glaring reports from everybody, and one person says, well, everything is wrong, and that one person is standing out there by themselves, and yet I got five or six other folk, they're very positive about it. I know there's a personality thing there. That's not the tenor of the whole group. So I think that you, when you do feedback, you look for patterns. You know, if you keep getting some from different areas and different groups, then every leader got to take a look and say, well, apparently I'm communicating this, apparently there's something going on here. So I think that's how, because you get into, everybody don't look at a feedback thing as something positive. The truth of the matter is, even though we Christians and we love the Lord and he heard our cry, we do just see it as an opportunity to attack. Some people don't see it as an opportunity to get better. It's not about people getting better. It's about just criticizing something. But I think that's the exception rather than the rule. Yes. Right.
So it might be one person, but you actually don't like them for whatever reason. Maybe they're outspoken, whatever. So you do still have to check your heart with that one person and see if there is a grain of truth in what that one person is.
You know, I think if we lead right, this is my opinion now, if we lead right, a lot of stuff won't get the feedback. I mean, I think we can create an environment where people feel comfortable talking to us. And then I think we can create an environment where people feel like they can't talk to us. And so some of it, I think, is a leadership issue. A lot of stuff, most stuff shouldn't even get to me. It shouldn't even get to me. Now, I'm not saying you can't bring stuff to me, but I'm just saying if we're doing it right, a lot of stuff wouldn't even get to my desk. Because a lot of time when it gets to my desk, it's a problem. But you know, that's what this class is all about. I always put the weight on leadership. I know leaders ain't always at fault at everything, but that's the way I approach it. If it's breaking down, if we got problems in the church, I'm going to be the first person to accept responsibility for it. Because I'm the pastor and I'm the CEO. So that's just the way I approach leadership. I know we ain't always wrong, but I think leaders need to accept responsibility for their areas. I don't think leadership is just y'all, you know, if y'all get y'all self together, then we'd be all right around here. If I see a leader doing a lot of that, I start thinking that's not really leadership right there. That's throwing folk under the bus. Here's a question that I have. I read this in a book, what does people trump process mean to you? People trump process. Yes. Got to talk loud. Start over. Okay. Yes.
If you're gonna make an error, make it caring about the people rather than getting the process right.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes.
When it comes down to the decision, error on the side of people and not the process.
Gotcha. Yes. Naomi? Yes.
That's our value.
That's our value, but we don't value it sometimes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
I think of something when we were in the school system, they used to say, if you don't feed the teachers, they'll eat the kids.
Wow, that's a good. If you don't feed the teachers, they'll eat the kids. You can do that a lot of ways. That statement right there, if you don't take care of the employees, then they're going to eat the congregants and the customers and everybody else. The illustration that I saw in a book was on university campuses, you have buildings. In your mind, see the buildings? Right, see the buildings on it? And the architects always build walkways, in other words, paved walkways that connect one building, see them paved walkways. But it says that when it's convenient for people, they'll make paths. See, if the lunchroom was over here, most people are not going to go all the way down there. They just walk right across the lawn. And this person was saying that people trump process. Sometimes we have processes don't fit people's needs. You know, you can have a process that's not people friendly, people related. Like at one time we was doing what in new members class, we were giving people VHS. We were giving them that. And people don't have nowhere to use. What are we gonna use that at? And sometimes even, and I'm nobody here is technical, I'm pointing to nobody here. I'm just pointing at a weakness. You know, we're in an environment now that we need something better than people just sitting up in a class to get it. Right. And so if you got a trucker who ain't in town a lot but want to join the church, and they can't join the church because they can't get to the, they can get to church, but they can't always get to a class, so they can't become members. So now we got processes in place that don't fit people. And so we have to constantly be asking ourselves, about the processes that we have in place. Do it match people's behavior? Does it match people's needs? Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. And, do they what?
And if our processes are
age-friendly. And I know what you're talking about, computers and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, we got to force everybody to come up hither. Yeah, but they do, though. They have to come up here because in some places, when they go to the doctor's office, they say, go over there and push this thing to sign in. They don't always let them always say, everybody don't let them sign in. They have to go right over there, and where I push this thing at, baby? And, yeah. Well, that's the issue right there, is that we've got to make sure that we not just say, get in line, but that we help people to get in line. Anybody else got anything from that? Let's talk about the people side. And let's talk about the people. Pace, process, and people. This is huge. The people side is huge. And in the book that I read, it emphasized the fact that most organizations deal primarily with pace and process, but they don't see how valuable the people side in is executing. So the people is the human element side, the body of persons who will implement the plans and strategies. The three key people factors: clarity, unity, and agility. Say that. Okay, now, without looking at your notes, without looking down, I know everybody's already studied this material before you came. In your mind, how does clarity connect to speed of execution? Yes. And give illustration. Okay. Somebody use a traffic illustration to communicate clarity. Yes.
If I'm driving down 269 and the light is red, then I know I have to stop at the intersection.
Okay. If it's clear to you that red means stop. Like, he has a relative that he was a little aged, and he got it mixed up. I mean, he would come up to the light, and if it was green, he would stop, and if it was red, he would go. It's time for him to put that wheel down, isn't it? Yes. Damn, they need to take that down. Huh?
If the other thing is that the people who are given the directive are asking, okay, I want you to do this for me. If they're not sure of what they want, you need to talk it through a little bit more to make sure you know you're asking for the right thing.
Yeah.
So that people want.
If it's foggy, anybody ever been driving on a road that was foggy?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? You slow down. Why you slow down? Because you can't see. And so when you think about clarity, you're thinking about vision. And the clearer the road is up ahead of you, the faster you can go. If it's foggy in any way, then you're going to end up slowing down. So clarity has to do with vision, and it's multifaceted. Is the degree to which people understand where we're going, organizational goals, but it should be a shared understanding. A shared understanding. You know what I mean by shared? What I mean by that, sweetheart? What I mean by that?
A shared understanding is that you have communicated to me what your expectations are, and I have, in return, expressed to you that I know how
Now that's perfect. Can you see how sometimes it may not be shared understanding? Sometimes you got leaders thinking one thing and followers thinking another thing, and it's not really shared understanding. Now, how many will, it's the risk now, how many will say it's clearer where we're trying to go now than it was in the past? Huh? It's clearer. How many is still foggy? So I take, in the light of this first bullet point, the degree to which people understand where we're going, organizational goals. Yeah, church. That's why I'm talking about church. Is it clearer? I'm getting some mixed review. I'm trying to read your body language, and maybe that's a mistake. Well, that's all I'm talking about. Wait. That's all I'm talking about, because we're going to get to that. Organizational goals. Pardon me? Okay, I'm with the first bullet point. The degree to which people understand where we're going, organizational goals. And I said that it should be a shared understanding. And then you gave a beautiful explanation of that. So I'm talking organizationally, because at one time people had that, I don't know where we're going. So I'm asking the question now, is it clear from an organizational standpoint where we're going? Okay, so my natural question is, where are we going? Huh? Why y'all drop y'all head? Everybody kind of drop their head down. Where are we going, Miriam? We growing up in the Word to just be. Be on the same page into how we conduct business, and that's why we started off with objectives, strategy, and execution. And we're trying to push this down. Were you going to say something? The win will be that we achieve them. Follow through. In other words, okay. Now, we're talking about clarity, right? And that's vision. One's part, I say, is multifaceted. Clarity is multifaceted. And I stopped Deborah from going any further, because the next one says, to the extent to which people understand the requirements and expectations of their job, and I put, and how their job contributes to success. See that? Now, whose responsibility is that? Okay. Here's my thought. Well, the extent to which people understand the requirements and expectations of their jobs and how their job contribute to their success, from my vantage point, that's a manager's responsibility. Now, let me put it like this. If any of you right now don't know the requirements of your job or what's expected of you, that's a manager's issue. Because that's one of the primary things that a manager should do at the beginning. And that's that. And here again, I'm not throwing out stuff to make people feel bad or nothing like that, but I am throwing out stuff because this is a training thing. If I got Jermaine reporting to me, or I got Byron reporting to me, or Sharonita reporting to me, it is my job to talk to them about their job. It is my job to let them know what's expected of them. It is my job to help them understand how what they do contribute to the success of the whole thing. It's not the subordinate's job to know what's expected of me. See, we're not talking about just goal setting and planning, but every manager at some point should sit down with the people that report to them, and one-on-one, there should be some discussion about your job. This is your job. And this is what I expect of you. Now, there's some feedback and collaboration there, but once we get out the gate, everybody should know. Because if I'm foggy about what my job is, how can I perform? And if I'm foggy about my job, how can you hold me accountable? When you evaluate me at the end of the day, how are you going to evaluate me when we hadn't talked about what you expect? Because down the road, it's a misguided expectation if you're going to hold me accountable for something that you didn't make clear to me at the beginning. Does that make sense? Okay. Y'all shaking, so I'm getting... I'm talking about from an initial standpoint that everybody that reports to you should have some clarity about what's expected. Now, we're going through that process now, aren't we?
Correct.
See, we're going through that process now. I met with Jermaine. Do we have some more work? Huh? We done? So you know? Okay. Do we have any more work? So we done? Okay, we got any more work? You done? Mm-hmm. So y'all know what's required? Y'all know what's expected? Y'all know what's your job? So what I'm saying to you is that everybody that reports to you, there should be some clarity about this is your job, job description, coming up with a job description, going line item, line by line, by line item, by line item. And I like to go through them job descriptions. There should be some collaboration with the job descriptions. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with talking back and forth. But line item, because job descriptions have a whole lot of fluff. I mean, just have a whole lot of fluff. Like, I'm going to manage the universe. I mean, I'm going to contribute to the establishment of the universe. And I said, let's scratch that out. That doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. And then there's a lot of redundancy saying the whole, and trying to build this big old long thing up, and a lot of it redundant, and some of it don't mean nothing. So I want to push it in to, okay, if we ain't got but five things or seven things, you know, I know, we know what's expected of you, you know, and that's a meeting. And see, don't hold me to time, but I'm just saying at the beginning of our thing, and the reason why we wanted to have planning at the beginning is because at the beginning of the year, everybody should start out the gate knowing that. Because it's really unfair down here to evaluate somebody on effectiveness if I had not done what I needed to do down here to get the person moving in the right direction. Does that make sense? So clarity, and here again, how does me knowing what's expected of me, me knowing how I help the organization be successful, how does that contribute to speed of execution? Yes.
If you know what's expected of you, there's less back and forth of correction.
Right. Right.
You can go ahead and get the job done quickly, knowing what you're supposed to do, move on to the next thing.
Yeah, because really from that point on, my meeting lasts pretty long. We lasted pretty long in trying to do this. How long your meeting last?
We had three.
We had three. How many?
6 hours.
Long time. Huh? About 16 hours. Okay, my thoughts on it, if I spend enough time with you to get some clarity to where we're going to go, then now all we got to do is have checkpoints. Quarter down the road, we get to sit down, find out where we are. Quarter down the road, we find out. But we ain't got to spend a whole lot of time anymore. We ain't going to have no long stuff now because we did the long stuff at the beginning. Does that make sense? Yes. I can't hear you. I'm thinking, Lord, you know when you get on an airplane, your ears get stopped up? I'm feeling like y'all, it's almost like y'all going. You have a question? About clarity? Okay, I think I'm going to answer that question, but not right now. And if I don't answer it, you bring it back up. But I think I'm going to answer that question. You know what we're doing in this? You know what we're doing in this? These leadership things, right? I'm coaching, I'm mentoring, I'm developing. See, because that's my job to make sure everybody knows. So if I use an illustration of myself, I'm using an illustration to try to give clarity on what we're talking about. That's all it's out, you know. Hopefully we'll take what we get out of here and just apply it. It's just that simple. We just do it. And it's not that deep. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So we're talking about, and see, we're into pace, ain't we? Because I'm sensing that we need to kind of walk this. See, a lot of this will come out in the next section on leadership, but I see that this is critical now. So there are different facets to this clarity. It's multifaceted. First bullet point, the degree to which people understand where we're going from an organizational standpoint. See that? The next bullet point is a little more specific, the extent to which people understand the requirements and expectations of their job and how their jobs contribute to success. The third bullet point, the result of people having the opportunity for open dialogue about the organizational goals, chance to ask questions, discuss, and learn. That a part of clarity is talking back and forth. Why are we doing this? Why are we not doing this? Why should I do this? Why do you want me to do this? There should be some asking of questions in order to get some clarity. Does that make sense? Y'all stop me now if I'm going too fast. Okay. I added some things to this clarity list. I'm gonna give you a broad statement, and then I'm gonna give you an A, B, C, D. Okay. And you can add this to your manual. Clarity is about seeing clearly throughout the entire journey. Clarity is about seeing clearly throughout the entire journey. So what I'm saying is a lot of times when we say clarity vision, we think of the destination, being able to see the destination, being able to see the destination, don't we? I'm saying clarity is not just about seeing the destination, but it's being able to see clearly the entire journey. Now let me give you some ABCs to that general statement. What are the external conditions we face? What are some of the external conditions that we're facing in this journey? Are there any conditions that we're facing presently? That's the A. But I want you to come back and say, what do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
What do you think it means? You know, that's how Jesus did. They will ask a question. Jesus will ask them a question. What do you think I mean?
If we're talking about taking the entire journey step by step,
mm-hmm.
there are factors out there that if we've got a goal to reach that may come against us reaching the goal. So we've got to consider the things that are there.
Yeah. Leaders have to always be considering external conditions. Yes. A. What are the external conditions we face? I may let you give an example. B. What are our internal capabilities? Are there any external conditions that we need to consider? What are our internal capabilities? What do we have? What are the assets? What do we have? What are our internal capabilities? Leaders think. Remember, they think.